Tarry here, where the stories never grow old, and you hear something new every time they are told and it comes clear. So tarry here, where it doesn't matter your age, and when we gather round the table, we all take the stage year after year. So tarry here, where...
Good morning.
Good Welcome.
Morning. Hi, Stosh.
Hi, Fanny.
Welcome to the Enlightened Storytelling Hour at enlightenedradio.org. So, I'm Fanny Crawford.
And I'm Stosh Ziolkowski.
And we're so happy you're with us today, December 3rd, 2018. Whoa, we had both had big weekends.
Yes, we did.
So we'll be talking about storytelling in the region.
Right.
And our theme today is celebrating, I believe.
Holiday celebrations.
Holiday celebrations.
Cold weather celebrations.
There you go.
Celebrating cold weather. There's an interesting thing.
Well, I could go on quite some time about what's good about cold weather, but we are promising to tell stories in any case, and we think you'll enjoy them. All right, so...
And I want to mention our opening was with Andy Offutt Irwin, great storyteller, singer, whistler, and he wrote that song,
yes,
Tarry
he
Here,
did.
And has given us permission to use it, and thank goodness we don't have to pay royalties. I shouldn't have mentioned that on air.
thank you, Andy,
for
singing that for us. Okay, so I'm going to start with talking about stories in the round.
That would be good.
Because...
I'm anxious to know.
Yes, Baba Jamal Koram. Jamal Koram is our storyteller. December 17th, so ordinarily we meet on the fourth Monday, but because the fourth Monday would be Christmas, we are meeting on the third Monday.
Christmas Eve.
Well, same difference.
I'm not going to argue with you about that.
Okay. You're welcome to argue with me, Stosh, since it makes the world go round. So Baba Jamal will be here on December 17th, and I've been trying for 4 years to get him to come to Stories in the Round, and we keep having these conversations, and finally got the date worked out and transportation worked out and housing worked out, and it's gonna happen. So this revered elder of the African American storytelling community will be with us on the 17th. And I am so looking forward to this. Not only that, I'm going to have him captive at my house for several days. So I'll get to hear lots and lots of stories and maybe interview him on the radio while we're about it.
That sounds like fun.
It does. It sounds like a good plan. So if you're interested in Stories in the Round, which is the storytelling series that I coordinate in Hagerstown at the Unitarian Universalist Church, you can give me a call at 301-730-1638, or you can email me at fanitsky, F-A-N-I-T-S-K-Y, at hotmail.com.
Oh, whoa.
You waved the clipboard at me, and I thought you were going to write me a note. And... The Unitarian Universalist Church in Hagerstown is at 13245 Sear Foss Pike, just west of the city limits, and the 81 exit, Route 58, 81 exit.
Exit 7B.
Oh, wow. Thank you for that special number.
I've memorized it.
Okay. So that's what's happening at Stories in the Round, and that's our closing session for the year. We start up again in March of 2019, and I hope maybe in the next week or two that I have close to the full lineup for the year. It's already halfway there, so We'll see if we can make that happen in a timely fashion for a change, and let our listeners know what they can look forward to, and then we can start pitching season tickets even for 2019. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes, and I even have a suggestion about that, but I can talk to you about that off the air.
Okay, that's probably a good idea, since I might say, what?
I'm sure you'll say, I can't do it.
What?
I can't.
All right, I think it's time for a story. Do you have a story for us, Josh, that you're ready to go?
I do have a story. I think I may, I'm sure you have heard this story.
You're sure?
I'm sure, but that doesn't mean that you have. It just means that in my mind, I'm sure you've heard this story. It's about a kitten in a snowstorm.
I think I have heard
and it's,
this story.
And it's a holiday story because it happened during the Christmas season. And it is a favorite story of mine because it has a nice lesson for me. And so when my daughters, I have two daughters who are mature mothers now. And when they were little girls, and even today, they have cats. They love cats and kittens, and any cat or kitten that is anywhere near their neighborhood looking for a home, all I have to do is cross in front of their eyes, and they'll be welcomed. Well, when they were little, I had built a cardboard hotel on the back porch and had a light bulb in it, and a blanket that hung down in front with a slice. And the cats could go in and out of this. Actually, it was a two-story cardboard box, so they could, there were a number of cats, and there was a kitten. There was a snowstorm, and my daughters were worried about the new kitten. And it was probably 9:15 or so at night, or maybe a little earlier, but it had been dark for hours. And the youngest daughter came to me and said, I'm worried about the kitten. It's not on the porch, and I think I can hear it crying. And so, like the good father I am, that I think I am, I put on my heavy coat and a hat and gloves even, because it was really snowing, and went outside and looked for the kitten. And I was only there for maybe a minute or so. When I did hear the kitten, it was making a noise. My daughter was sure it was crying, and I just thought it was making a kitten noise. But I couldn't locate it. Finally, it dawned on me that the kitten must have climbed a tree, because the sound it was making was from above. Our house sat on a nice flat piece of ground, but on one side of the house, on the back side of the house, the ground sloped fairly drastically down to a stream. And on the other side, on the front side of the house, the lawn was kind of small, and then there was a hill that was probably at quite a degree, an angle, that went up to a country road. Well, as I stood there in the snow and listened, it was very quiet and calm, this blanket of snow all over the place, and I could hear the kitten, and I determined that it was up near the road. So I trudged up the hill, and when I got closer to the road, I realized that the sound was coming from below. So I trudged down towards the creek. When I got to the creek, the sound was coming from above and up near the road. And so I did this a number of times before it finally dawned on my scientifically inclined brain to look straight up. And I realized the kitten was exactly in the middle. So when I was near the road, it seemed below me. When I was near the creek, it seemed above me. I finally found the kitten in the tree. It was quite high. And my daughters were convinced that it was worried and that it was crying. I went into the house, got a ladder from the back of the house, went out to the woods that was right next to the house where the kitten was up in a tree, put the ladder against the tree, climbed up as high as I could go, and the kitten was still a good bit above me. So I opened the extension ladder and put it up as high as it could go safely and climbed to the top. Still, the kitten was too far above me to actually touch it or grab it. So I went back to the house, told the girls that I thought the kitten would get tired of being up in the tree and would come down by itself, because the cats like to climb the trees. They didn't like that answer, or didn't accept it really, and they were close to tears, worrying about the kitten freezing to death or becoming a snowball or something. So I went back in the house and cut some 2x4 pieces about 2 feet long, got my trusty hammer, a belt with a bag full of nails, went back out to the tree and climbed the ladder and began nailing pieces of 2x4 as more rungs above the metal ladder. I put in about 5 of those, and when I climbed to the last place I could get above the ladder, the kitten had climbed to a new place, about 6 foot higher. And so I had to come down, and the snow was starting to accumulate on the ladder and on my back, on my head. I went in the house to devise a new plan, and I noticed the dirty clothes hamper that we kept near the back door in the basement, because I did a lot of woodwork and a lot of cutting outside, a lot of splitting of wood. I would come in, I would throw my dirty clothes there and go to the shower. I emptied it. It was a basket, and it was round. It had 2 handles on it, and I devised a new plan. I found the rope, cut a length of rope that I thought would be appropriate, tied to the 2 handles, made a loop and tied it to the 2 handles, and an extra piece of rope to give it some more length. Carried the basket and the rope back to the tree, and I had made a pretty good knot at the end of the rope to give it some weight. I climbed up the ladder, held the basket away from me, and the end of the rope I had coiled and threw it. Only took 3 tries to throw it above the kitten and have it go over a limb and hang down. So I had the end of the rope in my hand, and I was able to pull the rope and lift the basket. It got closer and closer to the being just underneath the kitten. And I had brought a broom with me, and I was determined to use the broom and to knock the kitten into the basket. It seemed like a brilliant plan, and it actually worked. I was able to get the basket just a couple of inches below the limb that the kitten was on. I eased the broom up, and the kitten was very curious, looking down at the basket. I was able to pop the kitten with the broom, and it fell off the limb into the basket, and I quickly began to lower the balloon as much as somehow a balloon got into the story. Basket.
We're doing improv now.
Yes, now. The kitten was in the basket. I was lowering the basket. And just as the basket, top of the basket, got to about my eye level, the kitten popped out of it and got right up on top of my head, then on my shoulder, and then jumped about 25 feet down into the snow and landed softly and scurried up to the back porch. So I climbed down. I wasn't going to take the wood out of the tree at that time. The snow was still coming down. I went into the basement and took off my clothes. By now, I was pretty wet, and I was feeling kind of miserable because I could hear music upstairs and sounded like the girls were singing, and they were certainly singing and dancing with the kitten, I found out later. And I could smell hot chocolate, and I remember thinking, oh, fine, I'm here freezing, and they're up having a party with the kitten and hot chocolate. And so when I went up the steps from the basement to the first level of the house, just as I opened the door, my daughters appeared with a plate full of cookies and a cup of hot chocolate and a little sign that said, "You're the best dad."
Oh.
And I just felt very good about that. It was a wonderful evening, and I even had the kitten on my lap for a little while.
Oh, what a good dad you are. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, you've told me that you never said no to your girls.
No, I never did. I still don't. I still don't.
Now we know yes. What that leads to. The consequences right. of never saying no right. to your children.
That's right.
Wow. I do love that story. And you're right. I have heard that story before. And it's lovely. It's just charming. And since I'm a cat person, I am so relieved that you rescued that little guy, little girl.
It was a little girl. And she was with us for quite a number of years.
Huh?
Yes. Yes. So my daughters and my wife at the time, they loved their cats and kittens and took pretty good care of them.
Very good. It's a charming story. And your girls are charming too.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. And that just reminded me that if it gets to be my turn again, I have an up-to-date story.
All right.
Really?
Well, my favorite image in that story is the kitten leaping from the basket onto your head. not quite sure what you signed up for here. Thank you, Stosh.
You're very welcome.
Well, you're listening to Enlighten Radio. Storytelling Hour at enlightenradio.org, broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia, on this Monday afternoon. And I'm Fanny Crawford.
And I'm Stosh Ziolkowski, cat rescuer.
And storytelling co-host. Okay. Well, do you have something on your agenda?
I was going to mention that Speak Story Series is going to wrap up this in about a week and a half. Not even a week and a half.
That's already the 3rd of December. Right. Oh, my gosh.
A week from today, Elizabeth Ellis will be doing a workshop at Shepherd University in the evening, and it's for anyone is welcome. It is for helping people to be able to present their family stories. And Elizabeth Ellis is one of the best storytellers you could possibly hear, a grand dame of the storytelling community in America. And her original dates were in March. But unfortunately, we had a snowstorm in this area. And so she was snowed out for a couple of days and had to move on to greener pastures. But she decided she could come back in December. And so the dates were set up for December 10th and 11th. She will be in Shepherdstown. And on the 11th, she will be presenting storytelling at 7:30 p.m. in Reynolds Hall at Shepherd University. And if you would like to get more information about the workshop and about the Speak Story series, you could go to speakstory.com.
Speakstoryseries.com
and get information. And it's going to be a great night. I wish I was going to be here to go to the workshop. But unfortunately, I'll be too. On a plane on my way home from Utah with my wife.
That's not unfortunately.
No.
It's a good thing you're coming home.
Yes, coming home. And it will be after our early December visit with our my stepson, his wife, and our two grandchildren. We're really going to see the grandchildren, but the adults are
they'll be there.
They're so always there.
You might as well see them as well.
But actually, this time, they're going to be spending Friday night away. So we're going to have the kids overnight.
This is exciting.
It is exciting.
I'm looking forward to the stories.
Yes, it will be fun.
Okay. Well, speaking of traveling and stories that happen while you're in new places, you were in a somewhat new place part of this weekend.
I was.
Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, on Saturday, I was able to join with Susanna Connolly Holstein, who is a West Virginia storyteller, and we are friends on Facebook and have known each other for about 5 years, actually probably longer. I first met Susanna at the Three River Storytelling Festival in Pittsburgh, where we shared the stage. During a one-hour block, she told the story she had 25 minutes and I had 25 minutes, and that's where I first met her. Anyway, on Saturday at 1 o'clock, we were at Hancock, Maryland, at a brand new library. It was just opened 3 weeks ago, and it was sparkling. And just, I hope they have good people to take care of it the way it is, because it was a beautiful layout, had a really nice room separate from where the books are kept for all kind of things like meetings and storytelling, and we were even visited by Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus at the end of the storytelling, which was very nice.
Down from the North Pole early
this
year.
And
to Hancock, Maryland.
Right. And so we had a small but enthusiastic group of people and told stories. And there was a lovely young lady that was there named Fatima, who managed to help us out in one of the stories. So we had a great time.
It sounds lovely.
Right. And then after that, we drove. Actually, I went home on the way. I went past Sharpsburg on my way to Frederick and stopped to have my wife join me. And we went down to Frederick, where we teamed up with Susanna again. And Susanna was traveling with her husband. And we performed at a house concert, which was 2 hours. And amazingly, we did not run out of material. I know you're surprised at that.
No, not at all.
But we had a real nice time. We had a sing-along as well as stories. And I was very glad my wife was there, because she has a lovely voice, and she's has performed professionally. And I, when Susanna wanted me to start one of the songs, we had no music. We were just
No instruments.
No instruments. I said, I think I will rely on that old television show, and I'm going to make a call to a friend and said, Terry, will you begin this song for us? And people thought I was joking, but I didn't reveal to them that I can sing, and I can even sing on pitch and all that, but I'm always reluctant to start without some help because I tend to sing too low. Mm. And then all the ladies in the audience are, So Terry knows that, and she was just very helpful. She actually gave us an intro to each of the songs that we sang, which was really neat, you know. So, yeah. She thought I was being a little silly because she knows I could start by myself, but
Well, I love hearing Terry sing, and yes, I love hearing Terry's stories. So having her introduce songs was a special treat.
It was
great. Doesn't happen every day.
Nope.
Very nice.
And she even got a thank you from the hostess, which was very nice.
Yeah. So, a surprise guest.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So actually, probably never going to happen again, but when Terry was still playing the harp, there was a little interruption there. I think a mouse ran across the table. When Terry was still playing the harp, we actually did a couple of programs together. And that was some of my favorite storytelling because it really made me look good. I don't even think people remembered the stories, but they always remembered the beautiful lady who sang and played the harp.
She does have an exquisite voice. Wonderful singing. Well, you had quite a weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
And thanks for sharing all of that with us.
And I would say the week started with a great triumph for us. Our work from the month of from August on, we performed last Monday, The Guys.
Oh, I forgot all about that. That was last week.
That was probably, yeah. But we hadn't talked. We talked about introducing it on the air.
We've been talking about it.
And we performed it, and it was very well received. And we had a wonderful question and answer section afterwards with the audience. So it, for me, and I know for you, for that night was a wonderful experience, and the weekend capped off a great week.
It was a fine evening on Monday evening, performing The Guys as part of Stories in the Round, and I want to thank you. I haven't thanked you yet for inviting me to do that play with you. So this was our third play, and I am beginning to understand your fascination with the theater. Yes. And the excitement of choosing and learning the story and the words that go with the story, and performing before an audience. It's very different than storytelling.
Yes,
for me anyway. This whole process of getting acclimated to a different art form has been fascinating to me. And I do thank you very much for inviting me to participate.
Well, you are an excellent actress.
No comment. But I did. I thought we did really well that evening. And I was particularly warmed and appreciative of the audience. They hung around for a long time after the performance to talk to us about it. Yeah. And they, when immediately after the performance, of course, we did our usual Q&A with the audience, and they had amazing questions, some of which just validated my own interest in the story and in the historical event of September 11th, 2001, and the planes and the two towers and that iconic American experience that we went through at that time. But what was most interesting to me was how many of us as Americans and as citizens of the world are still processing that event and still struggling with our understanding and our desire to that experience not be wasted, in the sense that so much suffering, so much trauma, so much death and pain that continues today. There's still consequences and aftermath stories.
Absolutely.
Related to that event, and to try to process that in a way that helps us move forward as a human species and as citizens of this country. And it was very helpful to me to hear people's comments and to watch people's emotional responses to the play, and to hear how much people desire to move forward, how much they're seeking to understand and have empathy for all of the different forms of suffering and trauma that were experienced during that time that is not done yet. But no. It was just a very moving experience.
It was.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
That was my long rambling. Thank you.
And thank you for doing such a good job.
Okay.
Really?
All right, so...
Why don't you tell us about your week?
My week. Well, let me start with the going backwards.
Okay. Your storytelling week.
My story. You don't want to know how many times I went to the grocery store.
No.
Or did not make the bed, all of those things. Okay. well, while you, Stosh, were... recuperating yesterday from your busy Saturday evening and Saturday afternoon with Susanna Connolly Holstein, I was ending my weekend at a pop-up craft fair in Frederick at my dear friend's house, Diane Silas and Harry Rosenstock. Who, this is about the fifth time I think they have done this event. We skipped last year, so that didn't happen. But and originally we did it in Hagerstown for a couple of years. But I think this, it might have been even our sixth year doing it this time. But I get to tell stories at this wonderful venue. So aside from having 8 or 9 vendors, craftspeople set up their wares in this beautiful house on West 3rd Street in downtown Frederick. And of course, there's lots of other holiday events, preparatory events, and music and arts events going on in Frederick for the season. And so many people come to the craft fair on West 3rd Street from other events and shopping that they have been doing. And it's quite a day. I had storytelling scheduled for 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock yesterday in the story room on the second floor of this beautiful house. And we had, let's see, we had 2 different tellings then, and there were a good 30 people who came through for those 2 tellings, a couple repeats, but because people stayed for the second telling, and the first telling actually went for 2 full hours instead of 1 hour, so the 2 tellings ran together with a new audience, a mostly new audience for the second session. And each time we do that storytelling event at the craft pop-up craft fair each year, it gets a little bit different. It gets a little bit better. It's always different from year to year, depending on who comes and what stories are told and what else has been happening during the day. But this time, we had an actual bona fide story circle happening with several very skilled and experienced storytellers present. And so the story circle just went on and on and on, and people had to leave and got up and hugs all the way around. And then new people took their places, and more tellers came in. And I think we probably heard a good 30 stories during the course of the day.
That's great.
It was a lot of fun, and I'm so grateful to all of the people who showed up and stayed, some of them for hours, and to the vendors that helped to draw people in so that we could have that storytelling event. I met some exquisite artists producing exquisite crafts and in some cases a bit of fine art as well. And the food, the food's always wonderful. And that was fun. And then we did cleaning up afterwards. There was lots of wonderful conversation, and more people showed up just to visit because it's an open house and pop-up craft fair. So I had a wonderful day. Way too late. So I'd have to get up this morning and do a radio program midday, but my car is still loaded with all of the stuff that was at my craft table, but I did have a good time. And I hope to do it again next year. You were talking earlier that Susan Gordon is already saying that she's going to host a another event next year, 2019, during this holiday season with you and Susanna Connolly-Holstein. Yes. So I hope that these things go on. We're starting our own traditions, continuing our own traditions. And it's so much fun. And I feel so blessed to be part of this storytelling community and just in these different places, these different small cities and towns that value storytelling. It means a lot to me.
Me too.
And something else I did sometime over the weekend, maybe that will come back to me at some point. But it's probably time for another station ID. Would you like to do that?
You're listening to the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour at enlightenedradio.org. Coming from Bolivar, West Virginia.
Fanny Crawford.
And Stasi Okoski. Stasi Okoski.
What is your name?
I almost said Stasi Okoski. But Stasi Okoski. I think it's showing that I relaxed too much yesterday.
You never know what you're going to hear on this radio show. What stories are going to appear in your very ears.
That's right.
Happening in the moment.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Coming through the airwaves. So, do you have a story for
us? I do, and I've been debating what story to tell. Both of the stories, I was going to use one of the stories I used yesterday, but I am going to switch gears, I think, and tell a story I intended to tell yesterday but didn't get to. So this is the story of Snow Dog.
Whoa.
And I think this... some of our listeners have heard this story before. I've told it to a lot of children and sometimes to grown-ups. It's based on a children's picture book by Loretta Krupinski. And I discovered this book maybe four years ago, something like that. And I just love the illustrations. But more than that, it's such a warm-hearted, cold weather celebratory cold weather story, and I love the descriptions, and I'll just tell it. Okay. We live in the mid-Atlantic region, but in the north country, in the far north, when it's winter time, it's much colder than it is here, and there are legends about the Frost King. And when winter arrives in the North Country, it is said that the Frost King leaves his icy palace at the top of the world, where the winds blow hardest and coldest, and the ice crystals are sharpest and fiercest. And that Frost King comes down to the lowlands and brings that weather with him. He brings his snowy magic to the lands of the north. The Frost King himself is made of snow crystals and icicles, and he flies through the cold winter sky, and everywhere he flies, snow and ice crystals fall from him to the ground. And as he flies over water, lakes and rivers freeze. They stop moving because it's so cold. All along the valleys and the mountains where the Frost King rules. And one day, as the Frost King was flying over the countryside, he looked down and saw a tiny little house wrapped in a forest of green trees, fir trees that never lose their needles in the winter. And there was a little boy and a little girl playing outside in that cold, cold winter air with the wind whistling. And the children were happy and singing and shouting as the Frost King looked down. And he thought, oh, they're having fun in my cold, magical world. The little girl's name was Anna, and her brother's name was Olin. And Olin said to Anna, it's starting to snow. It's starting to snow, Anna. The Frost King must be nearby. Of course, the Frost King heard his name mentioned and smiled to himself. But Olin was excited because now they would have enough snow to make a snowman. But Anna said, "No, no, Olin. Anyone can make a snowman. Let's make a snow dog. I want to make a snow dog." And so Olin agreed, and they began working on a snow dog. And when they had finished packing the snow and to make his body and his head and his ears, he was quite an impressive-looking dog. And Anna stepped back to admire him. "You are so handsome, Snow Dog. Here are two pebbles for your eyes, two black stones that she pressed into his face, and another black pebble for his nose." And then she threw her arms around him and said, "Oh, I wish you were real." Every morning after that, Olin and Anna raced outside first thing to visit Snow Dog. And one very cold day, a few days later, the little girl had found a scarf, an old tattered scarf that she wrapped around Snow Dog's neck. And Olin brought an old woolen cap to place on his head. And that evening, they gave him a pat on his head and said, "We'll see you in the morning light." They loved that dog, almost as if he were real. Well, that night, before Anna went to sleep, she gazed at her snowy friend through that frosty window of her bedroom. "Good night, Snow Dog," she said, as she watched his white coat twinkling, his snowy coat twinkling just like the stars. That same evening, the Frost King returned, and as he flew overhead, the stars, the northern lights lit up the skies, and he saw that little house again, tucked away in the fir trees, and he thought to himself, "Oh yes, that's where those little children live." But look, there was something new. He saw that white snow dog. "Oh, what's this?" said the Frost King. "It's a dog. It's made of ice and snow, just like me. This dog could be my friend." And landing there on the snow, next to Snow Dog, he blew his icy breath on Snow Dog's nose. And Snow Dog blinked his eyes, shook his floppy ears from side to side, wagged his tail at Frost King, and said, "Ruff! Ruff!" Frost King laughed, and Snow Dog licked his hand. "Would you like to come and live with me?" asked Frost King. And he picked Snow Dog up and flew off into the night sky. Together, they flew high over fir trees back to the ice palace. But Snow Dog glanced back at the tiny house. "What about the children?" he wondered. Well, the next morning when Anna looked out the window, Snow Dog was gone. There on the snow was the scarf and that old cap. "Where did he go? Olin, Olin! The Snow Dog's gone!" And when Olin saw how upset she was, he tried to comfort her, but nothing would stop her crying. Olin wrapped his arms around her and stroked her hair, trying to help her feel better, but nothing worked. And at last, when he felt that there was no right answer that he could give that would make her stop crying, he became impatient. "Don't cry so, Anna. He was never real anyway." "He is real. If you believe in something, then it's real," said Anna, her tears pouring down her face. "I know, because last night in my dream, Snow Dog came alive. I even heard him bark." And she stood there at the window, watching, hoping to catch a glimpse of Snow Dog running through the trees. But Snow Dog wasn't there. Well, a few evenings later, Frost King and Snow Dog went flying nearby, and they landed near an icy pond. and Snow Dog saw a bonfire with its golden glow across the snow as ice skaters circled round the pond. Snow Dog crept closer and closer, hoping that his children, Anna and Olin, would be there among the skaters and he would see them again. Frost King, who had turned away, suddenly turned around to see Snow Dog creeping closer to the fire, and Frost King shouted, "Snow Dog, Snow Dog, come away from that fire!" And he came closer and coaxed Snow Dog back from the fire, picked him up, and carried him back to the ice palace. "Snow Dog, I want you to know, you must understand. You are like me. You are made of snow and ice, and you will stay snow and ice forever. We are not like the songbirds and the animals, for we do not have hearts. If you come too close to fire's yellow flickering flames, you will melt and become nothing more than a puddle of water." Well, that frightened Snow Dog for sure. That night, as Snow Dog lay down on his ice bed and thought about the Frost King's words, he understood a bit. He had thought he was a real dog, for he could run and chase and wag his tail. But now he understood he was only made of snow and he had no heart. But he thought also of the children. "I gave them nothing, and they loved me anyway. I wasn't a real dog, but they treated me as if I were a real dog." And he sighed, thinking about the children. Late that night, as the Frost King slept, Snow Dog left the ice palace. "Flying up in the air was a great fun, and I'll miss Frost King. But I want to go home to be with Anna and Olin. I want to be a real dog." And he walked off into the night, covering miles and miles of snowy mountains. His paws were very soon caked with ice, with sharp ice crystals between his paw nails and his little toes. His ears were cold and wet, but Snow Dog kept going. The distant mountains with the ice palace disappeared into the darkness, and he could not tell where he was going. For many days and nights he searched for the cottage, that little house that was once his home, but all the mountains looked alike, and Snow Dog grew weary and sad. "Will I ever find the children again?" Finally, he saw that little house. There it was, in the darkness, tucked in the side of a mountain. How happy he was to find it. And oh, so very tired. And he lay down right outside Anna's window to rest, curled up, and wait for first light. When Anna woke the next morning, she saw a large dog lying outside her window. His coat was matted with snow and ice, but Anna knew at once who it was. "Snow Dog is here," she cried to Olin. "Let's get him inside where he can warm up. Olin, Olin, quick!" They pulled Snow Dog inside to a cozy spot in front of the fireplace where the yellow flickering flames danced, and Snow Dog, too tired to worry or move, just lay back on the rug, content to be back home at last, and fell asleep. And all that day, Anna sat by his side, as the ice from his white coat melted into puddles of water around him. Late in the day, Snow Dog woke. He jumped back, for he saw those yellow flickering flames of fire. He saw the puddles of water on the floor. He was very frightened. He backed far away from the fire as he could get, but instead of melting, his dog's coat, was no longer snow and ice. It had turned to silky fur, and he had real eyes and a real wet nose. He was so happy. He wagged his tail, and there was Anna sitting beside him with her arms around him, and he licked her face. "My dream has come true," said Anna. "You are a real dog," giving him a big hug, and for the first time, Snow Dog could feel his own heart bump, 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 beating from the warmth of his love for Anna. "You can live with us forever," said Anna. "Would you like that?" Well, of course, Snow Dog liked that. Ruff, ruff! He was finally a real dog, and he was back home with the people he loved, who loved him back. Anna made him a cozy bed, and he slept peacefully in the dim light of the cooling embers of the fireplace. But late that night, Frost King came looking for Snow Dog. And peering through the window, he saw soft, silky fur as Snow Dog lay sleeping. "That dog is now real," thought Frost King. "This is magic power I don't have." Lying in the snow at Frost King's feet were three round pebbles, the eyes and nose of Snow Dog. Frost King picked them up, dropped them into his icy pocket, looked longingly through the window, and then with another deep sigh, he rose up into the night, scattering deep snowfall before vanishing into the folds of the northern lights.
Wow. That's a delightful story.
Thank you, Loretta Krupinski, for Snow Dog's Journey.
Sounds like a Polish woman.
She might be, do you think?
Probably.
We should look her up and find out.
Cool. That was just wonderful.
I love that story. I'm glad I could share it with all of you today.
That's great. You're listening to Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour at enlightenedradio.org, broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia.
Do we have time for a quick calendar update for the rest of 2019?
We already did it for...
We did Speak Story Series, and we did Stories in the Round.
Yes, and we do have something coming up on the 16th.
Yes, we do. Would you like to talk about that?
I think...
Please do.
Okay. At the New Spire Arts in Frederick... on, let's see, 115 Church Street.
East Church Street.
East Church Street.
Very important.
Yes, yes, because if you go to West Church Street, you won't hear any good stories.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. You might get to Winchester Hall or something if you go. Okay.
So.
Our featured storyteller.
Featured storyteller is Adam Booth.
Woohoo!
And the two co somethings. Let's see.
The co-somethings.
Yeah.
I've been saying co-hosts, but...
Co-hosts.
We don't want to confuse people with radio language, do we?
Okay.
Well, so we can think of another word.
Sidekicks will also be telling stories, but they will only be telling one story each. And those people are yours truly, Fanny Crawford and...
What are those people's names again? Stash Zilkowski. Right.
And Adam Booth will be presenting
A whole story set.
And then people in the audience will be welcomed to come up to the mic and tell a story.
Or even sit. They can just sit in their circle if they prefer. Right, but if they, whatever.
Right. Well.
And we've had so much fun there.
Yes.
So far. This will be our fourth session and the last of 2019. But we're looking forward to see what happens next.
And what will be the topic?
The topic.
Reunions?
No, that was last.
Family celebrations.
Thank you. Yes. Just drew a complete blank. I'm sure Adam knows what the theme is. Right. As long as you and Adam know what the theme is, we're good to go. Okay, and then in January, there's one more in December 2019, and that's the Mason-Dixon Historical Society in Pennsylvania has invited me to come tell stories on the 20th of December, which is a Thursday. And if you Google Mason-Dixon Historical Association and check out the event, which will be at Stateline Ruritan Club, just over the Pennsylvania border. It's almost Maryland. It's barely Pennsylvania at all. But that's where I will be on Thursday the 20th. And then we'll be fairly quiet after that.
I think so.
And in January 13th, I'll be giving the official Sunday service. It'll be a storytelling service at the Unitarian Universalist Church at 10:45 on Sunday morning, January 13th. And I hope some of our listeners come out for that. So information on those two events and open mic, you can call me at 301-730-1638 or email me at fenitsky@hotmail.com.
Is there a theme on the 13th of January?
I have to send them the description of what I am doing for that service this afternoon. When we leave this radio station, I will be figuring out what I'm doing. I'm probably going to tell some T.H. Barnes stories. And there will be a little bit of churchy stuff, but not much.
Okay.
T.H. was not a churchy guy. He went to church faithfully, but he had interesting ideas, and mm-hmm. I'll be exploring some of that.
Well, that's the place to do it. The Unitarians.
And the Universalists.
They both like to explore
those big ideas thoughts
and thoughts.
And talk.
Right.
You definitely like to talk. Okay. Right. And tell stories. So I hope that happens. Okay, so we have just a. Do you have a 2-minute story you'd like to tell?
Yes, and this is a new happy story for me. Experience. This is about 2 weeks ago. My daughter and I were talking, and she said, "Dad, do you remember making ice candles when I was little?" And I said, "Yes, I've been making ice candles for more than 50 years."
And I have an ice candle that you made for me.
I'm glad.
Yes.
Well,
it's beautiful.
I'm glad you said that too, because most of them turn out pretty good, but not all. But anyway, she said, "Would you help me make some ice candles? Because I want to give presents to some of my friends." And I said, "Yes, but we have to do them where I live because I have the equipment, and I don't want to take a chance on messing up your kitchen." So. I made a little deal with her. I said, "You know, we probably cannot make 10 ice candles together because you work and you have a 6-year-old and you don't get to come to my house that frequently. So I will make some on my own. And then when you can, you come up to the house and we'll make some. And then you can say to anybody you give the candles to, they don't have to be labeled. They'll just say, these candles were made by my father and me and Jack." So this past Tuesday, Mara and Jack showed up at the house and was scheduled, and we made 2 ice candles. We really had a production going, and Jack was very enthusiastic and very well behaved. I told him he could not do anything with the wax because it was very hot, and I demonstrated how hot it was by accidentally touching the crock pot that I used to melt the wax.
And burning yourself.
And burning myself.
That was very generous of you to be yes. such a fine example.
But I taught Jack how to smack the ice cubes with the back of a spoon to crack them, to make them appropriate sizes. And he selected the colors. And you, of course, you melt the wax, and then you put in some crayons. We use blue, so I put in 2 blue crayons without the paper. And Jack was very good at taking the paper off. And when it's all melted, before you actually make the candle, you have to have a candle stuck in the center of an empty milk carton, a half-gallon thing, and take the cracked ice and pile it in there, pack it around, and then take it outside and carry the crock pot outside with the wax that's melted and colored and pour it right into the milk carton, right on top of everything, and then stick it in the refrigerator for about an hour, and then you can peel that carton away, and there's a beautiful candle with ice melting. Still, it takes about 6 or 8 hours for all the ice to melt. You sit it in a bowl with some paper towels underneath of it, and it'll absorb the water. And after about 6 to 8 hours, all the ice has melted, and you have this beautiful ice candle, which has many holes in it. And when you light the candle and it burns down, the light shines through.
Well, it looks icy. It's very lacy and filigreed. Right. So calling it an ice candle, it's not just a description of how you make them. Yeah. It actually looks like partially melted ice. Right. That's
And the sparkly. Second one we made was purple and blue.
Wow.
And that's what Jack wanted to do, so that's what we did. Because I also don't say the word no to my grandchildren either. So
wow, and you've lived through it.
Yes, and we had a great time. It was one of the best days I've had in many years.
Oh,
though every day is a good day for me.
Yeah, you've had a lot of best days.
Right, and having a grandchild visit and have fun with them, and he was a little disappointed that we couldn't take the candles home yet, but I told him it had to be packed properly. So we'll be taking them down to his house soon. Okay. So this is Stacy Olkowski and
Fanny Crawford,
your co-host for the Noontime Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour at enlightenedradio.org, independent community radio in Bolivar, West Virginia. Closing out this week's show, the Storytelling Hour offers listeners a window into the world of storytelling by traditional and non-traditional storytellers, encouraging our listening community to share, preserve, and expand all of our stories. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for beautiful music.
Woohoo! Bye. I'm going to...